It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, as always, joined alongside Matt Douglas, taking you through a Monday. And time now to bring on an old friend of the show, a man we've not had on for over a month now, our good buddy, our good pal, our Hollywood guru, Al Harris. Al, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm doing all right.
Well, it's great to have you back on the show again. As I mentioned,
great
it's kind of
be back.
Yeah, it's been a while, my friend. A lot has happened since our last conversation, and I've got to ask you about a movie on Netflix, which, believe it or not, Matt Douglas turned me on to, called Highwaymen, with Woody Harrelson, Kevin Costner, chasing down Bonnie and Clyde. What kinds of reviews have you seen on this particular flick?
So I think this one's interesting. The critic reviews on like Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic are like just below, I think 60% is the cutoff for like good or like certified. And they're like just below at like 50, I think they're somewhere between like 50 and 58%. But all of the user reviews are really solid. And this seems like, it does seem, I have not seen it yet. I know you had mentioned that you saw it and really liked it. It's been on my list. The director, I think, is a little hit or miss. He did The Blind Side, and he did, which I didn't care for, but he did The Founder, which was Michael Keaton as Ray Kroc, which I thought was great. And so I'm definitely excited. I definitely want to see this. Just haven't had the time yet. And, I mean, you can't go wrong with Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner as cops tracking down Bonnie and Clyde. Sounds like a really interesting story. But as I was saying, like, you have those critic reviews just very close. And then all the user reviews, like a Metacritic is like a 7.4 and IMDb is like a 7. It's been a lot of, like I said, a lot of mixed reviews. But a lot of the critics that I actually respect really like it. So I'm actually excited to see it. I know you really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I thought they did a really nice job of capturing that era as well, going back to the 30s. And I thought both Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner were fantastic. So I'm anxious to see what you think about it when you do get a chance to watch it. All right, my friend. Well, this time of the year, there are a lot of folks sitting on pins and needles waiting to see if their favorite shows are going to be renewed for another season. USA Today recently had a Save Our Shows 2019 contest going on. They actually spotlighted 26 TV shows on the bubble. Which popular shows do you think are in the most amount of danger of being canceled?
Well, so I looked at this list, and I'm not a big fan of network dramas, never really was. Watch my Law and Orders and my Homicides. Besides that, never really got into them. So there's a lot of these that I've heard of but never caught, like your Lethal Weapon, your MacGyver. Forgot they redid that one. Out of those type of shows, the only network things that I'm actually interested in are sitcoms, because I think they're still done right. And they're not like redoing, trying to capture what Lost was. They're actually trying to make funny sitcoms. And there's three on this list that I actually really enjoy that I hope get another chance. Fresh Off the Boat is one of them. It came out, I think it's in its fifth season. It was the first one about like a Taiwanese family emigrating to Orlando and their struggles, but kind of really the Weavestone was a big hip-hop head, so it kind of, like, kept that kind of vibe to it. And I really enjoy that show. I think it's stagnated a little bit. The Modern Family's been stagnant for 6 years and still keeps getting renewed, so I would love to see Fresh Off the Boat, especially because you don't see, like, films about or TV shows about Asian Americans, and I think it's really well done and really funny, and I'd love to see that stay on. Single Parents, which is from the same creator of New Girl, and has kind of become, it started out, it kind of fit the same trajectory as New Girl, where it started off kind of slow, figuring out what it was. Taron Killam, who's the lead, was kind of annoying, but as it's gone on, same with New Girl, it's really found its footing, and it's become kind of a fun hangout sitcom, like New Girl became. The kids are great in it, Leighton Meester's great, and I don't know, I'm a sucker for Brad Garrett nowadays, ever since he left Everybody Loves Raymond. I think he's good in everything he does, and he's great in this. And you saw with New Girl, it also was on the bubble after the first season, and then it really hit its streak with the second season, which was one of the best seasons of sitcoms I've seen in a while. And so I think Single Parents has the same trajectory, so I would love to see that get renewed for another season. And then my last one is my favorite of the bunch, and I think a real travesty if it gets canceled, is a show called Speechless on ABC. It's probably my favorite network sitcom on right now. It does not get enough love. It's about a family with a kid with cerebral palsy who doesn't speak and uses a speech board, someone reading the speech board to talk, and it's usually by his aide, Cedric Yarbrough from Reno 911, who's great. Minnie Driver steals the show as the mother. And what's great about it is it's not like, you know, most shows in the past about like a kid with a physical handicap or mental handicap where it's really saccharine and kind of like tries to pull the heartstrings and very manipulative. This show's a really flawed family who kind of finds ways to take advantage of the system for their own needs. They're not really, I won't say they're not good people, but there's almost like anti-heroes in a way. They're not like the most likable people, but they're dealing with this. And it's a great way of telling that story. I think it's hysterical to really not pull the heartstrings and just show this family that's dealing with cerebral palsy in a way that isn't like, as I've already said, manipulative, I think is unbelievably well done, and it just keeps getting better. And yeah, like I said, I think it's definitely would suck if that show got canceled. The other one on the list, I haven't seen yet. I'm kind of a little surprised that Murphy Brown is already looking, that might get the X. I thought people would, especially being on CBS, the older crowd would really enjoy it. But besides that, yeah, I think Speechless for me is the one that I really hope gets renewed.
Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And Al, we'll turn our attention now to the big, big screen, taking a look at this weekend at the box office. Shazam did extraordinarily well, netting just over $50 million bucks in its opening weekend. Are you surprised that this did so well, since Shazam, at least from the comic perspective, doesn't necessarily have the name recognition as the other DC stars?
No, and you would think it wouldn't do as well, too, right? Because it has... not only is it a not very well-known property, or it's an older property, it's also does not have any box office names, right? It's Zachary Levi, who's best known for Chuck, which I think was on NBC 10 years ago. Then you have like Mark Strong's the bad guy, who I really enjoy, but I'm also a cinephile and know who he is. I don't think the average moviegoer knows who Mark Strong is. Besides that, it really didn't have any names. It had a lot of people like, oh, I know that person from this. Oh, I know that person. But I'm also not surprised it did that well. It is a DC comic brand. They kind of, it has a Spielberg vibe to it by selling it as a big meat superhero movie. I think it was very smart and got people interested in it. And the trailer was really strong. So, and because people are suckers for any, superhero movie, I'm not that shocked. Actually, I thought it would do slightly better, kind of more in line with other superhero movies. I mean, it did really well, but not as well as like its budget says it probably should have. But I think it'll still obviously do pretty well overseas and do well as the next weeks come on. But no, I'm not shocked at all. I think it did really well. Pet Sematary did pretty well as well, and I thought that was a pretty big 1-2 punch coming out this year, especially in April. Thought it was a nice mix, like a family kind of superhero movie that's a little more violent for families, which was a little shocking to me. And then something like Pet Sematary, which I think is a horror crowd out, I think was a good 1-2 punch at the box office this week.
And coming in third was Dumbo. Now, I've not heard a whole lot about Dumbo. I mean, that's a star-studded cast, really kind of bringing out the who's who for sure. And this is a movie, of course, that was absolutely enormous somewhere in the area of 30 years ago in the cartoon form. But yeah, this is one I think at least a lot of Disney folks were really excited about. It took a bit of a slide, though, in its second weekend after the box office, or in the box office after a huge opening weekend. What kinds of things are you hearing about Dumbo?
I heard it's not very good. I like the idea of them trying to remake movies, live action. I mean, I think certain ones work, certain ones don't. The Aladdin one doesn't look that good, but Lion King looks great. So it depends. I don't know, I wasn't that excited for Dumbo to be remade. I mean, I liked it as a kid. And I think, I mean, Tim Burton's just been on a real losing streak lately. And I don't think, I'm not excited for his movies as I once was. And he just seems like he's throwing them out there. And I don't know, I wasn't excited for this. It kind of got the reviews I thought it would, kind of did in the box office like I thought it would. So I think while I really condemn that, like, I mean, it's an easy cash ploy, right? You throw out this old intellectual property and bring it up for a new generation by doing a live action. I get it. I just don't think certain movies work for it, and I think this is one of them. I think, like I said, Jungle Book worked really well. I think Lion King's going to work really well. And I think those kind of ones do. I don't think these do. And we'll, as we're seeing now, I don't know. I think it's time for Tim Burton to figure out what he's doing, because I'm kind of sick of him.
All right, my friend, before we get to our picks to click, we've got to talk about a movie that's perhaps been the most hyped movie of 2019 so far. You know, some of the trailers have already dropped, and on many social media platforms, a lot of people are just waiting on pins and needles trying to figure out what they're going to do when this movie comes out. Everybody seems like they want to see The Avengers Endgame. Are you buying all the hype for this movie?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the new Joker movie, but I see what you did there. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, of course I'm buying it. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be great. Let's put it this way. The last one, Avengers Infinity War, I thought was the best of the Avengers movies, and I thought it ended really interestingly, and I'm really excited for it. I think it was smart what they did, because it felt a little bloated, so you find a way to cut some of the cast down. Not trying to give any spoilers here, but I mean, who hasn't seen this movie yet? So I think it's done really well. It's going to blow off the box office. I have no idea if it's going to be good, but it's going to do record numbers. It's already, pre-sales have been crazy. It was like out here, man, just the moment. I hadn't heard people talk about getting pre-sale tickets to a movie. It was like getting concert tickets. People were like, oh, tickets go on sale in an hour. You got to get your tickets. It's crazy. So, yeah, it's going to do huge, huge numbers. I don't know how I feel about a three-hour runtime. That sounds insane. But, you know, The Lord of the Rings were 3 hours. That was entertaining. Harry Potter got close. So we'll see. But, yeah, of course I'm buying it. I mean, yeah, it's gonna break records, and it's gonna be entertaining. Whether it's as good as the last one, we'll see. All I know is it'll be interesting. It'll be entertaining. And it's huge for Cleveland's own, the Russo brothers, man. Just crushing it. Excited to see what they have done from starting out with a very small movie about Cleveland called Welcome to Collinwood, and now about to direct probably the box office champion in history. So it's awesome for two Cleveland directors, so I'm excited for that aspect of it. And like I said, yeah, it's going to do great.
Absolutely. I don't think anybody expects it not to crush the box office, no question about that. All right, my friend, we need this week's picks to click. What do you have for us?
On Sunday, there's this small show that's coming back for its final season. I don't know if you heard of it, called Game of Thrones.
Yeah, maybe I've heard of it once or twice.
Yeah, you know. Obviously, that's the end-all, be-all, right? People have been excited for forever. Finally ending. It's been almost 2 years. So, yeah, time will stop when that comes out. Everyone's going to be crazy. But everyone knows that. And I'm sure everyone's already seen it. But if you haven't, try and binge it as much as you can the next week, which is impossible, but, you know, I definitely think it's worth watching. And it's crazy because it does feel like the last, like the water cooler type shows that you would watch, and everyone, it was like appointment TV, right? We don't really have anything like that right now, and this feels like the end of that, especially with Netflix and everything else. So not only is it exciting to finally end this chapter, but it's also closing the book on, I think, water cooler television as of now. I mean, we always have something that pops up like Breaking Bad or even Mad Men to an extent, but there's nothing right now that's even close. But I'm also going to recommend another show as well. Flossy Verdon comes out on FX this week. It's about the great choreographer Bob Fosse, who directed theater and movies, like Cabaret, and all that jazz. A very talented guy, about his relationship with the actress Gwen Verdon, and they're both being played by two of my favorite actors, Sam Rockwell and Michelle Williams. And it's FX, and they always do things good, so I'm really excited for that. But obviously this week is just going to be taken over by Game of Thrones.
Absolutely. Well, Al, as always, my friend, we certainly appreciate the time. Glad to finally catch up with you for the first time in a while. We'll do this again next week.
Sounds good, man.
Thank you. Again, that's Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt and I have to take a break, but we'll come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL.